there, Carly Heath here. Well, it's been the week of weeks here on the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast. We dropped the fandom lore episode last Monday, and it exceeded all expectations as far as listener interest. I've been really proud of how popular all our episodes have been, but the fandom lore episode bump was like Mount Everest level. And then, because Con O'Neill is the greatest human on the face of the planet, he shared our podcast, and even more folks found it. We're now up to having listeners in 42 different countries. By the way, if you haven't watched Con O'Neill in Nolly, the British three-part miniseries from the acclaimed Russell T. Davies, what are you doing with your life? You can get it on Amazon for like $5, and I binged it over the weekend. I think Our Flag fans will find it especially interesting. Nolly is mostly set in 1981, the year our beloved David Jenkins was born. It's about a soap opera star who finds out her character is gonna be killed off her show. She doesn't know why she's being fired, but she begs and pleads for her character to at least be allowed to survive somehow. There's a fan campaign, letter writing, demonstrations at the studio, press stories, all to keep this beloved actress on the show. Ultimately, she's still fired. She's still kicked off the show. She goes through this intense period of questioning herself and her life in the face of rejection. Oh boy, it's relatable. Con O'Neill is the villain. He's a director, and I won't give it away, but eventually it's revealed through him the extremely stupid reason that this actress was fired. You guys have to watch this miniseries. So check that out. And on this week's appetizer, I'm reading two fics related to the lore reveal that we did last week about Izzy's ring, that Izzy intended to give the ring to someone. If You'll Have Me by M. The Stan asks, what if Izzy wears the ring on his neck, not because it's something he received, but because it's a constant offering, a perpetual proposal, a silent question he asks every time Ed looks his way. The next fic, Five Ways Izzy Could Have Given Away the Ring, and One Way We're Deciding He Actually Did, by Little Fingies and Rimbaud Official, is a mature rating and described as humor with light feelings. By the way, if you ever want to narrate something for the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast, get the author's permission first, then record anything you want under 60 minutes and send it to ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. Everything folks record, I'll put on the show. No gatekeeping, no rating limitations. If you want to devote your precious time to narrating something, then I'm putting it on here. Now let's get into it. Izzy found the ring in a raid years ago, back when he and Ed were still new to being Captain Blackbeard and First Mate Izzy Hands on their own ship. Well, Blackbeard's own ship. From the very beginning, there was no question that Ed would be captain. And they had been successful so far, wildly so. That evening, they were taking on a merchant vessel, fancy fabrics and furniture and God knew what else. Not important. He'll always remember finding the ring. He was rifling through the captain's desk, looking for anything of some value, probably not coins, but maybe an ivory letter opener, a brass paperweight. Tucked in a black piece of silk in the back of a drawer was a silver ring with a green stone. Simple. Beautiful. It made him think of Ed and the rings he had taken to wearing instead of selling. The way the rings flashed in the moonlight, peeking out of fingerless gloves as Ed wielded his sword. He thought the green would bring out Ed's brown eyes, and he felt himself flush for thinking it. By their practice, it could be Izzy's. He was first mate, and he got his pick of what he found before contributing to the ship's hull. But he wanted Ed to have it. Wanted to give it to Ed. He tucked it carefully in his vest pocket, burying it down under the silk. Out from under Hornigold and on their own, away from watching their backs, and able to relax as much as pirates can relax among loyal crew, Izzy had time to think and put tentative names to feelings he couldn't remember not having, or if not names, shapes. He wanted Ed, and wanted him more than just in the passionate or drunk or bored or lonely or scared or convenient or angry or triumphant or all of the above dalliances they so often shared. He wanted to fall asleep with him, not just because there was only one hammock left. He wanted to share meals with him and share stories and share the spoils of their raids, not as friends and partners running a ship, but as two people, together. He wanted to want these things and not pretend he didn't. He wanted to know Ed wanted them too, not to guess that he did. He wanted to know if the words that caught in his throat in the middle of a raid when Ed would see him across the wild deck and wink when they shared a late night drinking together and planning their next move, when Ed was inside him with dark eyes full of lust. He wanted to know if Ed thought them too. He wanted to tie his fortunes to Ed, not just as a loyal first mate, but as a partner, a mate. The idea of asking him was one of only two things that scared Izzy. The other was the idea of losing him to someone else, to the sea, to a raid gone bad. So that night, while the crew celebrated with looted liquor, Izzy followed Ed to his cabin. Ed was happy, loose, and as they entered the room, he casually slung an arm around Izzy's shoulder. "What do you think, Iz?" Izzy stared at him. He hadn't registered the words over the searing weight of the arm around his shoulder and the wailing foghorn in his head. Ed kept going, shaking Izzy slightly, trying to snap him out of his obvious daze. "About the raid, Iz. Did you see the captain crying? Barely maimed him at all, and he's bawling for his mother. Almost too easy." Izzy forced himself to laugh, fingering the ring in his vest pocket nervously, digging it out of the piece of silk. "So I'm thinking we make port for a few days. We've got a full hold, and the crew is bored. Plus, we're low on oranges. I don't want fucking scurvy." Ed removed his arm from Izzy's shoulder and started ambling about the cabin. And Izzy felt the loss like a cold bath. "Can't wait to see what we get for this fancy shit from today. Should be loads. Speaking of, you never told me if you found anything good." He turned back to look at Izzy. Izzy, who had been standing still as a statue in the middle of the room, exactly where Ed let him go when he started pacing and running his hands against the curtains, fiddling with the trinkets on his desk, talking high from the raid and his success in being Blackbeard. Izzy stared at him, feeling so many things he couldn't name and heat building in his chest and behind his eyes. It was not like Izzy to be tongue-tied, especially around Ed, who he had known for so long. Ed would notice. He had to say something. He was going to do it. Ed flung himself down on his chair, thumped his booted feet on the desk, and started packing his pipe, squinting up at Izzy. "You don't have to tell me, mate. I'm just curious." Izzy ran a hand through his hair, licked his lips. His heart was pounding in his chest. It seemed impossible that Ed couldn't hear it. Should he kneel? Ponces in the stories knelt. But they weren't pirates asking other pirates for whatever it was Izzy was asking for. What was he even asking for? What was he going to say? Why didn't he plan this? He planned everything. Ed took a drag from the pipe and blew out a smoke ring. He was getting better at that, Izzy thought, watching Ed's lips work and shoulders relax, his eyes dancing and reflecting the embers. Already, Ed was getting restless, but Izzy didn't see the signs yet. He wouldn't for years. Izzy drew out the ring, pinched between thumb and forefinger. It glinted in the light from the lantern on the desk, and Ed steadied it, leaning in a bit to peer through the haze of pipe smoke. Snice? Should fetch a pretty penny. Is that emerald, you think? Before Izzy could answer, Ed leaned back and fiddled with the bowl of his pipe. Izzy's damn hand was shaking. Did Ed notice? Is that why he was lingering on whatever he was doing with the pipe instead of holding Izzy's gaze?
I wasn't. Don't want to sell it.
Ed flicked his eyes up and stared into Izzy's. That was not what he expected. Izzy was nothing if not practical. He didn't save things for himself that he didn't need. His clothing was practical, his cabin sparse. As far as Ed knew, the only thing Izzy had that wasn't strictly useful was a wooden box that he'd protected with his life as long as they'd known each other. Ed had no idea what was in it, and Izzy had no intention of sharing.
I thought, Edward.
He took a deep breath. This was it. Out with it, Hans.
I thought maybe it could be... I could be... yours.
What? That's what he managed? He flushed, heart continuing to hammer, breath coming fast and shallow. All this time, and that... that's all he could say? Izzy stared at the stone, visibly throwing light everywhere and betraying his shaking hand. He swallowed thickly. He forced himself to drag his eyes from the dancing green gem and look at Ed. Ed, whose brow was furrowed, slowly coming unknit. But was it realization or excitement or, God forbid, pity doing that? Their eyes met across the ring. Izzy's breath caught in his chest. He wanted nothing more than to grab the man in front of him and kiss him until they both were gasping for air. He would pour everything he never had the words to say into that kiss. Everything he wanted to say tonight, but that was stuck, burning a hole in his throat. It must have shown on his face. Ed's eyes darted away from Izzy's as he shifted his feet quickly to the floor, the hand not holding the pipe, gripping his thigh tightly. Ed was frozen, staring at the ground. The seconds stretched out. Izzy had to fill the silence. He cleared his throat again, eyes burning.
I'm yours, Ed. Forever. If you'll have me.
He held the ring out, and Ed peered up at him from behind his long lashes. He looked sad, sorry, soft. No, that was wrong, all wrong. Izzy felt like the ship below him was pitching out from under his feet. There was a sudden rushing in his ears. What was he thinking? Blackbeard wouldn't want him? Izzy jumped to his feet, stuffed the ring back into his pocket, made for the door almost at a run. Ed tried to stand, but his knee was already going stiff. The door slammed before he made it to his feet. Izzy never saw the tear trace down Ed's cheek, never heard him curse, throw his pipe against the wall, never knew that Ed didn't sleep, but instead spent the night pacing the cabin so many times, almost opening the door, going to Izzy, kissing him awake gently, explaining that no matter how much he wanted it, how much he wanted to ask the same of Izzy, how much his heart leapt when Izzy held out the ring, no one could actually love Ed. Not really. Izzy never knew that Ed decided it was best for both of them to never speak of it again. Even if, when he thought of it that night, worried that he had ruined everything, that Izzy would leave in the morning and he'd never see him again, the prospect of losing Izzy felt like a sword through the important bits. But of course, Izzy would never leave unless he had no other choice. And when it came to talking about what had happened, he would take his cues from his captain. If Ed wanted to talk about it, Ed would talk about it. So the next morning and every morning after, Izzy strung the ring onto his cravat before tying a simple knot. He went to work. He shared his day with Edward. That night, and every night after, he removed the ring gingerly, carefully wrapped it in the silk from the drawer, tucked it safely into the toe of his boot, tucked his boots under his cot, and went to sleep alone. If Ed ever noticed, ever understood what the ring at Izzy's throat screamed every day, "Yours, Ed. I'm yours forever if you'll have me." He never said a word. That was If You'll Have Me by M. The Stan. Go ahead and hop on over to AO3. The link is in the show notes, and give them a kudos or a comment. Now, this next fic is 5 ways Izzy could have given away the ring. And one way we're deciding he actually did, by Little Fingies and Rimbaud Official. 1. To Lucius Spriggs. After Izzy's sung himself hoarse, he comes up to Lucius with his new lopsided gait. On what Lucius figures is his 3rd metamorphosis of the week. "Wait," he says, "I need to talk to you." Lucius raises an eyebrow and cocks his hip. "Finally up to get sketched?" he asked. "You know, marrying Pete doesn't mean I can't sketch other men." Izzy rolls his eyes. "Not that," he says. "I want you to have this." He holds out a hand, and in it is his ring. Lucius's gaze flicks to Izzy's collar. Yes, it's gone, so it's in his hand. So the ring in his hand is the ring. "No," Lucius says, "you're drunk. Don't be ridiculous." "You'll need to give Pete something," Izzy reasons. "Don't you wear this, like, all the time?" Lucius asks. Izzy shrugs. "I'm all about moving on right now," he says. "Besides, what are you gonna do to mark the occasion? Slash each other's faces?" Lucius scrunches his own face up. "That's a thing?" he asks. Izzy taps the tattoo on his cheekbone, and understanding dawns in Lucius's eyes. Izzy takes the opportunity to press the ring into Lucius's hand. "Take it," he says. "You need it more than I ever did." To Jack Rackham. It's madness in the Republic today, Izzy thinks. Fucking madness. Between Steed and his celebrity and Ed's complete lack of interest in his own legacy, it's hard to find his footing. Ha, footing. "Izzy Hands!" a chillingly familiar voice shouts from behind him. Izzy turns around. "Jack," he says, and then looks at the man more closely. He has a wooden arm, way worse in quality than Izzy's unicorn leg. "What the fuck happened to you?" Izzy asks, partly because he wants to know and partly because he's trying to ward off a hug. "Ed happened," Jack says. "What about you?" Izzy sighs. He knew the seagull attack story was bullshit. "Fucking Ed happened," Izzy admits. "Why are you here instead of on some boat?" "Got mutinied on again," Jack says with a little shrug, like it's something that could happen to anyone. "Right," Izzy says. There's a look in Jack's eyes, and it's not the one he gets before he's about to ask Izzy for money. It's worse. This is the expression Jack wears when he's about to beg Izzy to go to bed with him. Taste and consequences be damned, and he always gets his fucking way. Izzy's weak to him to a degree that scares the shit out of him. Maybe he can offer money instead, only he hasn't got any on him, not much more than it would take to buy a beer or two. His hands go to his throat. The ring's worth something. Jack's lost for words as Izzy undoes his cravat and palms the ring. That's your ring, Jack protests as Izzy holds it out. Ah, says Izzy. Now it's yours. Get yourself a place to sleep and something to eat. You look like shit. Jack doesn't cry, but it's a close thing. And if Izzy ends up taking Jack back to the room he's rented for the night and lets him eat him out a little, who's to know? 3. To Steed Bonnet. Steed and Izzy have been chatting in a cozy corner of the bar for what feels like hours. It was easier to cope while sharing a drink with Jackie, but she's busy now, standing behind the Swede at the bar and making him too flustered to finish anyone's drinks, when a breathless cabin boy runs into the bar to announce that someone named Lime Ricky is getting his ass beat at the docks. Half the bar leaves to watch. Steed and Izzy stay, laughing like old friends. Ed almost makes eye contact with Izzy, turning in his chair as if he's going to get someone's attention, but fumbles it and ends up looking around the bar. Lucius and Pete are only people here he really knows other than Jackie. The look Pete's giving him is a clear, but not unkind, nah, man. All of a sudden, Izzy is standing by Ed's table, smiling fondly down at him.
I can feel you brooding over here, he says. Go get your boyfriend before he gets his other ear pierced.
Ed stands to go find Steed, can't let him get the other one pierced. Just one ear is way cooler. Izzy seems drunk, but in a happy way. Ed forgot Izzy could be happy drunk.
It, Steed cries as he approaches. It, I believe something very profound just happened between me and Izzy.
Oh yeah, he asks?
Yes, Izzy said to me that piracy is changing, and he's old guard and I'm new guard. Even though I'm an idiot, and
Ed suddenly has an idea of what this is about.
And he gave you the ring.
How did you know? Steed asks.
He does this sometimes when he drinks brandy, Ed explains. Steed's face falls.
Oh, he says. Shall I give it back?
Yeah, Ed says. I think that would be best.
4. To Ed Teach. Izzy's barely awake and coherent by the time the Revenge is set to leave Steed and Ed on their new island home. To his credit, Ed comes in to say goodbye. Bonnet hovers awkwardly in the background. After the goodbyes have been exchanged, Izzy reaches up to his throat and begins unpicking the ring from its knot.
I want you to have this back, he croaks at Ed.
Oh, shit, Iz,
Ed says, teary eyes full of wonder.
You kept this?
Izzy stares at him and stares at him and stares at him.
It's been around my neck for 15 fucking...
You know what? Forget it, he says. Fuck it. Have fun running a business without me, you twat.
Somehow, this is what moves Ed to tears. 5. To Buttons. Fucking of course Izzy would end up marooned, he thinks. Over the fucking side of the ship, during a storm, and then on the beach of some bullshit island. Fuck, if this is how he dies, he's making a formal complaint. A seagull lands by his head. He waves it off with a sluggish gesture, but it doesn't even flinch. It stares into his fucking soul, and he knows, without knowing why, he knows that it's Buttons.
Thank fuck, he says. Can you get back to the Revenge and tell them?
Buttons cocks his head. That's right. He can't tell anyone anything. He's a seagull. Izzy has a better idea. He takes his ring out of the wet knot of the cravat where it's held and extends it to Buttons.
Put it in your mouth or something, he suggests. I don't have anything on me to tie it to you with.
Buttons puts it in his mouth.
Don't swallow it, Izzy warns. Or do, I don't care. Just get that to Captain Frenchie, would you?
Buttons bobs his head and flies off, leaving Izzy to lie on the beach, wet
and injured and ridiculous. The longer he lies alone, the more he's convinced that what just transpired had to be some form of madness fueled by all the seawater he's managed to swallow before washing up on shore. Life under Captain Frenchy is somehow even more bizarre than it was under Steed Can't Fucking Die Bonnet, so of course the revenge is on the horizon by morning. 6. To Frenchy. Izzy wakes with the sun in his eyes, and it takes a few bewildered seconds for him to remember that he's in the damn bed nook. How a man like Frenchy, who trips over his own shadow, can sneak out of bed on him is still a mystery, but he supposes he should be glad Frenchy is captaining at dawn for once. Izzy looks around and sees what he always sees, the bedside table full of shiny things and talismans that caught Frenchy's eye, the curtains drawn to separate the nook from the rest of the cabin, his ring on the windowsill, except his ring isn't on the windowsill. His stomach drops. Something is wrong. Were they boarded? Did some pissant pirate lean over him and pluck it off the nook? No, he hears familiar voices outside the cabin, Pete whining about something or other. Frenchy must have taken it. He might still be sore that Izzy hasn't yet given him the ring's full story. Worse, that the ring is now playing a starring role in a superstition Izzy has yet to hear. Izzy dresses, puts on his leg, goes out on deck where everyone is doing a very poor job of acting normal. He asks Archie where the captain is. The captain, she says? Captain Frenchy, you mean? Izzy just rolls his eyes and takes the long journey down the steps to the galley where he can find Frenchy more often than not. There's a commotion in the kitchen. He walks in to find Frenchy on a stool, his left arm elbow deep in a huge stock pot. Roach and John are arguing over his head when they notice Izzy and go silent. "Hey, babe," Frenchy says brightly. Izzy won't be put off so easily. "The fuck are you all doing?" "Funny thing," Frenchy says. "You know that ring that you wear all the time, every day, always? I can't get it off my finger." "What the fuck?" Izzy asks as he feels is his right. "You need to hydrate," John says. "Your fingers are swollen because you're not drinking enough water." "No," Roach says. "The butter will do it." Frenchy's arm comes up out of the pot, just enough for Izzy to confirm that yes, they've melted an obscene amount of butter for this. Frenchy's lucky he's pretty. "So my ring somehow ended up stuck on your hand," Izzy says, if only to get the embarrassed grimace that Frenchy owes him for all this. "And you didn't think to use the tin of whale blubber right next to the bed?" "Oh," Frenchy says. "No, I don't really know where you keep it," Roach snorts. Frenchy reaches out to slap Roach with his dripping hand, and Roach screeches. Izzy looks to the ceiling for guidance. "You know what?" he says. "Just keep it." The kitchen goes quiet. "You mean like wear it?" Frenchy asks. Izzy looks down again and finds the three of them frozen mid-scuffle. "No, I mean eat it," Izzy sneers. "Of course I mean wear it. God, you're insufferable." "Ah," Roach cries, clutching his chest. "This is such an Izzy proposal." "It's not a proposal," Izzy protests. "Oh, it's not?" Frenchy asks. He's obviously cow-eyed, the picture of disappointment. "I mean, it's..." Izzy hears himself stammer. "It's not a fucking told you, did I?" John says. "Oh my God," Frenchy gushes. "Oh my God. Should we leave you lovebirds alone?" Roach asks, grinning ear to ear. "No," Izzy says. "Clean the butter off him first. Christ, he'll get it all over my good shirt." "Isn't that your only shirt?" John asks. While Roach finds some clean rags, Izzy flips him off. When Frenchy's clean and Roach and John have departed, Izzy looks at the man he's just sort of asked to marry and considers his spur of the moment decision. Frenchie looks flustered, charmed, and full of nervous energy. It's his usual look, save for one extremely well-moisturized hand. Fortunately, he tried Izzy's ring on the fourth finger of his left hand, because of course he did, so there's no need to move it. "Well," Izzy says, "last chance to duck out of being stuck with me for life." Frenchie beams before pulling Izzy off balance into his arms. Izzy wonders how long he's going to smell like butter after this. "I'm terrible at ducking anyway, and at getting unstuck. The whale blubber is in that stupid little hidden cabinet behind the sconce on the left side," Izzy tells him. "Are you sure?" Frenchie asks. "Should we go check?" And that was 5 ways Izzy could have given away the ring, and 1 way we're deciding he actually did, by Little Fingies and Rimbaud Official. Check out the link in the show notes and give them a kudos and a comment. And if you'd like to record something for the show, go ahead, get the author's permission, make it less than 60 minutes, and send it to rflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. And be sure to follow rflagmeansfanfiction on Instagram at @rflagmeansfanfiction, all one word. Thank you. Goodbye.